God bless you, everybody. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to move a little bit here. Can I go here and preach from over there?
You can do whatever you like.
Okay, that's better for me, I think. So I feel more comfortable. I am a missionary. I am from Metro New York District. I serve as the NMI president of all our churches in Metro New York. We have 120 churches, so I always have to visit and encourage my people with missions into action, isn't it? Yes, into action. But before I start, just in case, let's pray. Because when I go to churches, something happens with electricity, with the computer, or something. So let's prevent, okay? And I want you to repeat after me. Okay? Father God, open my heart. Please speak to me and let me do it. Let me be obedient to you. I love you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen. So, my precious friend, can you put the first video, please? To be compassionate, all of us. And I have a news for you. We have almost 700, we have 700 missionaries spread everywhere. And your offerings are helping, but I have to tell you something. They are full-time missionaries, but you know what? You are missionaries too. Part-time, but you are. You are because you are the people of God. And the Church of the Nazarene from the beginning started, before it was a church, it was already a mission. It was already, the Holy Spirit was sending people from everywhere. That's how my country, we have parallels to here 100 years. You know, the same almost parallels than America, because the Lord already was sending people to my country in Peru to open the church. So we have in our blood, our everything is about missions for us. It's very important. So, my friend, can you go to the first page of PowerPoint? I want to say thank you to you. Thank you, Pastor, because I wanted to come here for a long time, almost 3 years ago. But I couldn't. I have to go to visit churches, so I am very glad. So you know that for us, everything has to be go and make disciples. Missions is go together with that. It's so beautiful to come to church and worship the Lord, but if there is no action, it's going to be one day that you are going to get bored. Really? You know? So we are called to be disciples. Next one, please. Before we start everything in missions, we start with a prayer. Because sometimes we want to do amazing things. We want to conquer the world. We want to help people. We want to do amazing things. But without a prayer, sometimes it's frustrated because it didn't happen. Or sometimes just stay in the cloud like a dream and disappear after a while. But when it's with prayer, when it's with the Holy Spirit, we can make a big difference. And on Tuesdays, we are praying a very beautiful group of people. We are praying specifically for our missionaries, for our pastors, and the leaders of the church. And we call to this number, and we are praying together. And now we open 4 more places, and every church are starting to do this prayer call. And it's amazing because sometimes, you know what? There are people that are in the hospital, and they call us from the hospital, and they are praying with us in the hospital. Some people are driving back to their houses, and they are with us praying, with open eyes, but they are praying with us, you know? And some of us are, you know, some of us are praying in our offices. So it's beautiful because we need each other. We need prayer. Sometimes we don't know each other, but we know your names and we pray for you guys. You know, especially for your church. So everything that we do in missions is through prayer. Next one, please. Thank you so much for all the offerings that you give. I don't know if you know, but the World Evangelism Fund is a big bank that we put together all our money to go and support our 700 missionaries. Specifically, the 2 offerings, the Easter offerings and the Thanksgiving offering that is coming soon, all of that money goes all for them to support them. So thank you so much. I know this church is so faithful with their offerings and tithes, so thank you so much. You are helping to open more and more churches in other parts of the world so more people can know. Next one, please. Now we noticed something, that our children, young people, and teenagers, and younger, and older, sometimes they don't know too much about missions. You know, we young people, I'm considering myself young, but I am not young, but we like action. Children love action. So we are starting very hard this 2018 to share with children about missions. And we started with other churches in New Jersey. This beautiful girl, Daya, that in this moment is teaching children, she is using this book that we are using, the Asia Pacific. And she's so good. She so loved missions that she even bought Japanese food. And she is sharing with the little children how she decorates, and she brings her laptop, and she's telling them how it is to be a missionary in Japan. So the children are all, you know, thinking, acting. I had been called to be a missionary when I was a little girl because of a testimony of a missionary. You know, and so it's so good to tell our children always about action, because that's what the Lord, Jesus Christ, was in the Sabbath, worshiping the Lord and teaching. But the rest of the day, what he was doing? He was doing action. He was full of compassion the rest of the week. That's what we need to do. Next one, please. I want you to open your Bibles. Oh, I will read it in Ephesians 2, 1:10. Please forgive me, my English is not so good, okay? But there it is, so you can understand. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 10. And the Lord called me to put this a life with meaning. And you know what was amazing? That the songs that we sing today is all about this. Whoa! I was like, whoa! Fantastic. He is giving me permission to say what I'm going to say. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Next one. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, but raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Next one. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. This is so precious. I was going to other churches, and the Lord was speaking to me to speak about the when Jesus was doing the miracle of the fish and the bread. And I thought that the Lord wants me to share that with you, but he has something different for you because you already help a lot. You already do a lot of missions in your community. And that's what's happening here. I want to share the next one, please. Now I'm going to put together the lesson with the Haiti trip. Okay? So pay attention. It was fantastic. It was beautiful. And there's a picture from the air that we took about Haiti. This is the last group that we went. We went three teams to Haiti, and the last was the medical trip. So this was the medical. And I'm going to tell you the same like in the Bible said in the first part of this, these verses that we read. We were lost in the world, all of us. And our superintendent is there, Pastor Art Alexander. We all were a mess without God. We were. We didn't have purpose in life before. I born in a Christian family, but my teenager, I went out of God, so far away. And I hurt myself. I hurt my people. I hurt my friends. But the Lord rescued me and found me again and put me back. And he gave me opportunities to do, amazing opportunities to do. Next one, please. And the same happened with Stacy. The same happened with Barbara. I see my Barbara here. The same. We were lost in the world. But here he's giving an opportunity in 2017 to go to Haiti to help people. The same with the family of Pastor Larry. They were helping with their grandchildren. Before we were there, it's kind of like they were preparing the land for us to come, making friends with the people over there. Next one. I see my friend Frank was there too, helping. Helping there. And my friend Dr. Rivera, that she came from Spain. She's a Nazarene girl from Peru too, and the Lord called us to be together in this. Next one, please. We see here Pastor Alexander and our dear Pastor Larry and the dog. Worshiping the Lord all together there. We were in a place that is a church that maybe you know already that they are building the walls, but they didn't have any roof. So they, for us to sleep, that was our hotel. For us to sleep, they put like a plastic bags. And it was the time of hurricanes, remember? So we were wet all day, all night. And that happened to us. Next one, please. And this was our pharmacy. Look at how fantastic. My nurses were so organized. My goodness, they bring all of these things. And they, Sunday, we were organizing, cutting everything, and put it all in order. Because Pastor Larry said, maybe we are going to have 75 people, but we have more, almost 400 people. So it really overpassed. But they were so amazing, these girls. Next one, please. There he is. We have only three nurses, and one was Jenny from Valle de Sitim, and Cheryl from Bronze Bethany. And we are here with a little boy. The little boy, somebody pushed him 2 weeks before, and he cut a little bit here in his arm, and nobody took him to the hospital. So when he came, this was totally, totally open. And I am not a nurse, okay? And that's my hand. The white arm is my arm. And the boy is open, and it was terrible. And you can see his bone inside. And he was crying, and we have to clean it. And it was disgusting. And I almost died because it was, you know, sad. And the boy was crying. And the doctor said to me, don't put that faith. Don't put that faith. I said, okay. But it was, you know. Ay, ay, ay. No nurse, but I have to help. You know why I have to help there? Because she didn't know English. So we needed two translators. The one from Criollo to English, me, English to Spanish to her. So everybody that came has to pass for two people to really go to the doctor. And when she knew what happened, she's telling me to me in Spanish, I'm telling to the other translator in English, and he's telling to the patient in Creole. So it was like that. So it was really hard. Our minds were thirsty, we were hungry. It was an adventure. Next one. And we have here another nurse that she was taking of the pharmacy, and my Paul too, in pharmacy and praying for people there. So it was a big adventure. The next one, please. And we have our precious Walter Munoz, that he came with a lot of soccer balls, and they were helping the children to play, to have fun. And they give uniforms too, and it was fantastic. They were just helping and trying to be friends with people there. Next one. And because we were afraid of the water there, you know, thanks God for the rain, we had holy showers. I was showering there, just bring shampoo and wash my hair there. Because there were no other way. I wanted to be clean, you know? So the nurses, all of us, we went out and we start showering there. But it was like protecting all the pharmacy too from the rain because the water was passing through. So all under one table that we have, just put everything there. And we were sleeping so wet and all of that. But it was like, wow, the Lord had been preparing us for a long time to be here helping others. This was not like other mission trips that I had. I had a collection of mission trips, but this was totally different. This was really an adventure. Really, really an adventure. And the Lord spoke to us in different ways because these people were super happy. When we came in, they were the little children, maybe 30 children came and hugged us and kissed us and all of that, you know? And it was so sad that I thought here in America, sometimes we cannot have a child because, be careful, you know? How we lost those little things that are so important for people, you know? Next one, please. Now let's analyze what the word of the Lord is saying to us. And you, I'm talking about you and I. And you, he made alive, who were dead in the trespasses and sin. We were dead. We were totally confused in a chaos in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the song of disobedience. Who are the songs of disobedience? Who are they? You know who are they? are the ones who don't know God. And what happened with those people who doesn't know God? He said, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We were totally hopeless and helpless there. Sometimes when I see the news, don't you see the news, all the confusion? Sometimes you watch a news and they are telling you indirectly to hate somebody, isn't it? It's making us to divide it all the time. A person without God is really in a chaos. Even those persons are suggesting themselves some things and they don't know what they are talking about. When I was young and I was lost in the world, I just hear what my mind said and I was confused and I was hurting myself. I was hurting my friends. I was hurting people that love me. And that's what happened because I was following just what my mind was telling me, what my logic was telling me. But it was a lie because I didn't either control myself. And if you check yourself, how were you when you didn't have God? I'm pretty sure you were confused, tired. You know, it was so sad for me when I came to America and they told me that the 90% of people in the church are depressed. And I was like, what? It's supposed that we have a big God. So why we are depressed? When we are here, it's so much confusion, it's so much chaos that we don't trust in anybody. We don't trust in God. We don't want to hear God. Sometimes we hate God for the things that we took because we took bad decisions. We are all totally lost here. And sometimes we are stubborn. And we continue in that place and we don't want to get out of that place. But there is something amazing that happened here. I feel sad because now the world is more complicated now with all of these, the sexual things that are happening. There is a lot of people that are slaves now. I mean, a lot of islands, a lot of places that are slaves. They are killing us in the Middle East in a horrible ways. You know that they put a pastor in a tree and they put the Bible in the floor and they burn the Bible, and with all of that, they burn the pastor alive. They close the eyes of our missionaries or the pastors of the leaders of the church, and there is a hole over there, and they close their eyes and they make them walk by guns, by the sounds, and they run and they fall in those places and they never come back from there. And there is already a lot of people dead there. That's the way this world without God is such a chaos. It's such a desperation. It's just such a confusion. And that's what's happening in Ephesus. It was, in spite that it was a port and it was an international port and it was a full of tourism, there were a lot of bad things. And that's what Paul is telling to the church. And that's what the Lord is speaking to us. It's happening in New York. There are many crazy things that are happening here, in the capital of the world. Isn't it? The next one, please. But there is a bit bad. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together. In the verses in the past, you are alone, you are confused, you are in chaos. But you know, here we are together. You are saved by grace. I am saved by grace. I don't deserve it. But we are here. We are saved. We are the light of this place. We are the salt. Or the soup. We make the soup taste good. We made this place to feel good because of grace. And it's not you. It's not only me. It's all together, alive together. There is koinonia. And there is work together with the Holy Spirit. You are not alone here. He could save everybody, but he wants to use you for something special. And not only that, he promised us, he said, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It doesn't stop just there. There is something beautiful waiting for us. Uy, gold, crystal sea. Every time I feel sad and confused, every time I want to complain, because I complain a lot with God, a lot. He's saying to me, there is something special waiting for you. And it's true. You know what? I was studying for this, for sharing this to you, the Lord speak to me and said, don't think about your life. Think about your death. That's what the Lord spoke to me. Think about your death. You have to have a good death because there is beautiful things waiting for you over there. You know? Sometimes we are so afraid of that. But if I live a good life, I'm going to have a good death. And something beautiful is waiting for me. And that's not only for me, it's for you. Woohoo! Redemption in Christ. Psalms 103:8 itself, that's one of my favorites. But the Lord is big in mercy and is slow to be angry. What a beautiful God we have. How lucky we are. Nobody has the God that we have. Look at who you are. You are his disciples. He loves you. He protects you. He wants you. He wants to use you for amazing things. You could be over there in New Jersey, but you are here in Patchogue to make a difference with the people here around. Yeah. You could be born in Brazil. Or maybe Haiti, but the Lord makes you born here in your family. Do you think that's an accident? No. You have a mission. And if you are young, you have a super mission. And if you are old, you have an amazing, very important mission. The Lord wants to use you. He wants only your heart and your desires, and let him to use you. He will not check for other things. Next one, please. And that's one of my favorite parts of this area. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So this opportunity is not because I was a good person. It's not because I did a collection of mission trips. It's not because I am here in front of you. It's not because I read the Bible a lot and I pray a lot. No, it's because the Lord has compassion for me and he loves me and he's giving me this opportunity. I'm going to take it. And he's doing it for you. Because I used to be so quiet and I don't know what happened to me now. You see? The Lord only wants you to be open for what he has for you, and it's unique. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The songs that we sing today was talking only about good works. It's not just a works. It's good works. It's good, beautiful, delicious, amazing. Excellent, super works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's the purpose. You know, I am a computer engineer. I am a teacher. And I hope the Lord soon give me the opportunity to study my master in theology. and many other things that I want to get. But all of those things is nothing with the beautiful opportunity that we have every time we share about Jesus. But there is something about mission trips. When we give, we do a collection of things. We give clothing, we give food, we help them. But you know, when we don't give the word of God to them, all of those things are nothing. Because the purpose of us to do all of that is to save them, to help them in a spiritual way. I don't want them to be like the chaos. I want them to be like now with hope. Isn't it? And in Romans 12:9-21 said, this is saying to us, okay? Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Yes, we are doing that. Matthew 10:8 said, this is telling to his disciples, and you are his disciples. Look at what the Lord is saying to you. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. We are so afraid sometimes of doing these things. We go first, and we pray sometimes, and I'm saying that for me. I'm praying first, Lord God, please bless the doctor that he can heal me. Huh? Who is the big doctor? Who created my doctor? Is not my Heavenly Father? Who did a collection of miracles when I was here? It was Jesus. So I should say, Lord God, Jesus, you are my precious doctor. Can you heal me? I trust in you. But no, we go first to the others, practical things that at the end, they are not practical. Sometimes it takes years to be healed. But if we have faith, and we are the children of God, and we are the friends of God, so look at the opportunities. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. You receive, cast out the demons, take away, pray for that person that is with depression. Take that away from there. You know that there is a collection of young people. I mean, there is no collection. It's a big amount of young people that they want to kill themselves. Who wants to kill them in reality? It's Satan, because he came to destroy, to kill, to ruin everything. But who you are, a child of God, can you pray, give a solution to that? Sure, they can. God is waiting for you to do that. God is waiting for you to put your faith in high. You can do it. You have the Holy Spirit inside. Titus 3:8 said, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to do good works. Matthew 5:16 said, these things are excellent and profitable for people. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. Many times I think something. We are in our churches. We have beautiful temples. If our church die, if this church in Pachok die, if we have to sell it, this church, and this disappear, do you think your neighbors are going to cry because you are not here? Do you think that? Or they will not care? If they don't care, that means there is no light in this place. There is mercy, yes, there is love. But this place should be shining everywhere. Your neighbors should be conquered by Christ. That is happening in South America. It's happening in many other countries. It's amazing because a pastor is crying and a people are crying because we need to rescue them. They are going to go to hell. They are in chaos already. Many of them, they are living hell now. But are we making a difference? In our own families, I'm saying for my family, my family in Peru these last weeks, they have been in a horrible chaos. Satan has been attacking us in a horrible way. And I have to pray to God to make a difference. I want my brother to be in God, because if he continues lost, he's going to be hurting us more and more. And he's confused. I need to be the light. Lord God, help me to be the light. Lord God, help us to be the light in this church. This church is not here for casualty. You have an amazing place. You can do amazing things. Please be together, be unified, because the Lord wants to use you, not only in Haiti, not only in other places, but here. He wants that for you. And you are going to feel complete and with purpose in your life when you see those things. Next one, please. In the first part, we see things that happen without God. We are alone. We are hopeless and we are helpless. But when grace comes, there is a redemption in Christ, and there is purpose in Christ, and good works happen. What is good works? Compassion. What is compassion? Love plus action. And it's together with God. That's so beautiful. We are never alone. We can help others, and others can help us. We are all together. When I was in Haiti, the last day, I sincerely came here very sad. Because we gave food, we gave clothing, we gave many things to them. And we have three very difficult cases. One lady came. We were giving to all the mamas to do the pregnancy test. And one beautiful lady came, a strong woman came, with her husband and seven children. And she was pregnant. So the first thing that she said is, I want an abortion. And I said to, when I hear that word, I said to the translator, no, I cannot have children. No, she cannot do that. The baby, the kingdom of God is with the children. She cannot do that. So he started to translate, and she started to be so sad in her face. And the father started to be happy when I said those things, but she knows she was so sad. At the end, we pray for her. The pastors help for her, pray for her, for the husband. Another case we have, too, a man came with a horrible, his legs were like the skin was coming apart. Oh, it was horrible. It was kind of like the boy. It was totally horrible. It smelled really bad. Oh, I thought he has cancer or something else. I don't know. But it was horrible. And we couldn't do nothing for him because we didn't have the special machines that need to clean that place. And they put we only give antibiotics to him, that's it. But it was so sad, so hard. And at the end, I thought something. Maybe the Lord brought us here just to pray for them, just to give and encourage. But later, thinking and thinking, I thought, the Lord really wants us to give the good news to these people. They were garbage everywhere. They were a chaos everywhere. They were desperation. They don't have education. They don't have these things. But all of that, it was because they had been following Satan for years and years and years. And it's time for us to preach the good words to these people, not only to bring food, not only to be clothing, but to really be strong and preach the good word to them. It's time for that. So I became so disappointed that I was so focused in doing my mission, which it was the translator and being a nurse, and not really praying with them and talking about Jesus with them. You know, so the Lord spoke to me and I said, Lord, forgive me, but you know what? The next mission trips that we are going to do to wherever place we go, we are going to have like a medical team or impact team. But each team is going to have two or three people that are prayer warriors, and we are going to make a big difference this time. You know, I don't want to have pity. I want to have compassion this time. So that's what the Lord spoke to me to share. This is a church of compassion. You are doing a lot. Please, if you maintain together, if you continue together, and the Holy Spirit is with you, amazing things are going to happen. And this church is going to be an inspiration for other churches. Your life is going to be an inspiration for your family. And this is going to be filled up with everybody. Next one, please. I want you to stand up and let's read together this verse, okay? And strong, like warriors. All right? 1, 2, 3. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of Patchogue, Long Island. God bless you. Let's pray. Father God, you are a beautiful and amazing God. We love you and we bless your name. Thank you for this precious church, Lord God. All of them have been paying attention today, Lord God. Please speak to them. Use their hands, their fins, their minds, their mouth to share your goodness with others. They are your missionaries here, Lord God. Holy Spirit, please put the joy of salvation in their hearts, Lord God, and let them be used by you and spread your goodness everywhere, especially in their families, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this precious church, Lord God. Bless them. Protect them from evil, Lord God. Ruin every single plan of the enemy that is against this church in the name of Jesus. And thank you because you are victorious. And thank you because you want to share this miracle with this church. You want to make them participants of this miracle, Lord God. Thank you because you are the God of missions. We love you and we bless your name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The last video. Thank you. Last video.
There's a wonderful story in the Gospel of Mark. It's a story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And the disciples are exhausted. They're overwhelmed with the needs of the people. And they realize the people have nothing to eat. And so they go to Jesus and they say, please send them away. Jesus said, what do you have? You feed them. They found 5 loaves and 2 fish. They gave them to Jesus and he broke it and he multiplied it. And then he said something very interesting. He said, seat the people on the patches of green grass. That phrase has always struck me. Why the green grass? What is the significance of green grass? Throughout scripture, green grass, whether it be in Isaiah or Psalm 23, symbolizes the inbreaking kingdom of God. The green grass got me to thinking about a story of my first visit to Swaziland. We were there with a church group to help work at a clinic and a church and a school. We went to a mission site called Sitsasalani, one of the most remote parts of Swaziland. There was no water for a community of 12,000 people. Their fields were dry, they had no crops, their livestock were dying. And it was just a very broken place. And we were there trying to do what we could, and we were offering what we had. And a man that was with us by the name of Fred Evans said, Pastor David, I see a water well across the way. Can I go look at that? And he went and checked out that water well. It had been broken down. It had not worked for years. And he came back and he said, I believe there's water there. And so I remember the time when, as a group, we stood together, we held hands, and we prayed around that water well, and we said, God, we're bringing you what we have, as little as it is. Do something extraordinary here. Fred went home, and he developed a solar panel water well system that he uniquely made. And he said, Pastor, we can do this for $25,000. We instantly raised the money, and we went back, and we installed the very first solar panel water well in Swaziland. 1 year later, I went back to that place. They said, we want you to go back and see what God has done in Sitsasalani. And so I did. I couldn't believe my eyes. There was green in all of the pastures. All of the fields were full of crops. The livestock were back again. There were children running and laughing and playing. And there were hundreds of people there to greet us. The first thing they said to me when I got out of the van was, where is Evans? We want him to see what has happened here. And as I looked at what that fresh water had done in that place that was so broken and so dry and decimated, and I saw new life, and I looked around, and there by the nurse's station was green grass. God's kingdom was breaking in that moment. But the story isn't over, because the Coca-Cola Foundation found out about that project. They found out about Fred's unique design. They said, can we buy that? And Coca-Cola Foundation committed $1 million to a water project throughout all of Swaziland. We said, we want you to start with the 17 Nazarene clinics. And for the first time, the Nazarene clinics in Swaziland had fresh, running water. Why did that happen? That happened because a man named Fred, a Nazarene in a church in Oklahoma, said, Lord, I give you what I have. It's not much compared to the need. But if you'll take what I have and you'll multiply it in your hands, a miracle can happen. And thousands of people are affected by that. We praise God for what you are doing through your World Evangelism Fund. Every time you pray, every time you give, every time you go, lives are being changed. We do this together. We sometimes don't tell you thank you enough. But today, on behalf of a global church where God is working in miraculous ways, we say thank you for giving what you have. You may think it's very little, but in the end, placed in the hands of Jesus, it's changing the world.
On behalf of my grandson, Nathan, you are dismissed in the presence of the Lord. Why don't you stand with me for a moment, and we'll just have a quick closing prayer. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for this day and the wonderful things that you spoke to us through Yelsey. We ask that you'd bless her life, her mission, and all the things that she does as she puts them in your hands. Bless our fellowship as we celebrate downstairs together, and just give us a good day and a good week. Keeping you first. In Jesus' name we pray. Be well. See you downstairs.